Happy Mother's Day. Let me read you a Mother's Day story today. Story of a mother. The second atomic bomb was dropped on Nagasaki on the 9th of August, 1945. 9th of August is Singapore's National Day. There's this story of a 10-year-old child who survived the atomic bomb. Let me read to you her story. And the story is on display in the Atomic Bomb Museum. My sister was trapped under the fallen house. My two-year-old sister was crying hysterically, trapped under the fallen house. The beam was so heavy, the sailors tried to lift it, but went away saying, "It's no use." Suddenly, I saw someone running towards us. It was a woman. She was naked, and her body was purple. "Mother, now we thought everything will be all right." Our neighbor tried to lift the beam but did not budge. "It's impossible," he said. "There's just no helping it." He bowed deeply in apology and went away. The fires were approaching quickly. Mother's face went pale. She looked down and my sister peered up with fear-stricken eyes. Mother scanned the beam again, then slid her shoulder under it and heaved upward with all the strength in her body. The beam rose with a crack and my sister's leg came free. But mother sank exhausted to the ground. She had been out in the field picking eggplants for lunch when the bomb exploded. Her hair was red and frizzled. Her skin was burned and festering all over her body. The skin had ripped right off the shoulder she had applied to the beam. But muscle was visible and blood was streaming out. She soon began to writhe in agony. And she died that night. But the two-year-old sister, two men came by, sailors came by, wouldn't lift the beam. But the mother lifted the beam. Amen. This testimony is by Michiko Ogino, 10 years old at the time of the bombing. This testimony of mother's strength. Amen. And so far, I only heard of strength of mothers. I've never heard of strength of fathers. So far. So, in a situation like that, many a times, you know, the woman suddenly would just gather up her strength and just did the impossible. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, happy Mother's Day. In other words, you know, when your young people get married, if you face any crisis in life, just run back to your mother. Amen. Amen. So, you men, just be nice to your wife, okay? Don't think that you guys are men, the hero. Hello. I know that at least 8 women who raise up 8 children without the husband. They raise them up. They're not rich, poor as a mom, and they raise them up. One of our friends, she and her sibling, their brother and sister, became very successful. Why? Because a mother who just had an idea how to raise up 8 kids, take 2 jobs, and strategize and say, okay. The eldest one look after the second one look after the third one look after the fourth one, all the way down, the seventh one look after the 8th one. And she did what she could. Of course, a lot of things cannot be done, just leave it long. For example, clothes not ironed, don't bother lah. Right now, children's survival is more important. Amen? Praise God. Right? Amen? All right, let's read this scripture before we talk about tithes and offerings. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. What gift? Verse 10, for God is one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. Right? That means he provides seed to sow, and also there's always food. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. This is the gift. This is the gift that we are so thankful. Verse 11, you will be enriched. You will be enriched. That's the gift. In every way, so that you can always be generous. When you take your gift to those who need them, they will give thanks to God. Amen. This is the gift that we thank God for. Amen. He always enriches us. There's always food. There's always more than enough left over to give. Amen. And then after we have given, God will multiply back to us. We will never lack. Praise God. You know, if you know that God always multiplies back to you, then you just obey Him. Right? Praise the Lord. Let's pray over the tithes and offering. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We can bring the tithes that belongs to You, give it back to You, pay it back to You. In worship, we're worshiping You, acknowledging all that we have is Yours, and remaining that we have, we are blessed. Thank You, Father, for the offerings that we bring, the seeds that we sow, and it shall be multiplied back to us, and we shall be enriched. We always have food. We always have more than enough to give. Thank You, Father, for the mother who have the strength in the very moment that's needed. We thank You, Father, for strengthening all of us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So that the atomic bomb story the mother gave her, and the night she died, but the two daughters was alive. Praise God. Thank You, Father. We praise You. You know, sometimes I just look back and I see some of the what's going on with, for example, we keep playing it again and again. You know, the two of them will post Emmanuel on Instagram. We play and again, we amuse, you know. And remember when he was born in ICU, now mother is teaching him, he's speaking Chinese. You not only speak English, he's speaking Chinese. He's not even 2 years old. Praise God. Thank God for His goodness, mercy, and grace. Thank God for the power of God. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Today, I'm going to talk to you about the different methods to minister to the sick. Last week, we studied one method for ministering to the sick, that is laying hands in the name of Jesus. Today, we continue to study other methods so that you have faith in them. Why we study is so that you have faith in the methods. Right, the method that's used by Jesus, taught to us by Jesus, you have faith. You need to have faith. Because to receive your healing, you need to release your faith. Amen. I can always use my faith on unbelievers and baby Christians and children in the faith kids. But many of you have been Christian for a long time. You better have faith for your own healing. There's no excuses. So my responsibility is to teach, and your responsibility is you better understand what I teach and have faith and better believe what I'm teaching. Don't wait till you know you need it, then you try to get faith. It can be maybe too late. Amen. So the principle is the same as laying on of hands. The first method, pastor who lays hands must have faith and believe that the sick is healed and recovers. Right? Two issues. When the moment I lay hands, you are healed. Then you will recover. And last week, I believe it was a revelation from the Lord. The reason why you recover is because you are healed. Then you recover. I mean, for example, somebody goes to the hospital for surgery, they come home for recovery. Correct? Amen? Because you remove all the disease condition, they come home, they recover. So it's the same. You know, the moment we pray for you, you are healed. Then you recover. So you must believe that whichever method is used to pray for you concerning you needing healing, you must believe that you are healed. Then you will recover. You cannot wait until you completely recover, then you believe. All right? So two different issues. So the pastor who lay hands must believe that the moment we lay hands, you are healed. And you must believe also you are healed, then you recover. Right, the recovery is a process. That's where you need to hold fast to your faith. Amen. The sick person must also have faith and believe, and that he is healed the moment hands are laid on him, and must believe he shall recover. Now, the recovery process, that's where the battle is. The devil will fight you with symptoms and all that. That's where you must still continue to believe you are healed and you are recovering. You must not yield and accept the symptoms. Amen. Praise the Lord. Likewise, teaching you other method is so that you have faith and believe the healing power of God is administered to you. At that moment, you are healed and believe you shall recover. Jesus said you will recover is because you are healed the moment you are prayed for. Let's go back and look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Jesus came to earth. God anointed him to go about do good. God is a good God. He didn't anoint Jesus to judge and curse and put sickness on people. Amen. Anything that's bad never comes from God. right? Be it the Old Testament and New Testament today, right? Don't listen to those preachers who talk about because, you know, you've done something wrong because of God's judgment. No. Amen? He does not judge to put something bad in your life or in your body, right? So he anointed Jesus to go about doing good, healing all who... Those Jesus healed were sick. He said those who were sick were oppressed of the devil. Amen? So there are two things about sickness. It's an oppression of the devil. And secondly, it's a disease condition of the physical body. Now, when we lay hands, the oppression leaves. Then the body needs to recover. Amen? Your healing begins when the oppression leaves. Right? So for someone to recover from sickness, we have to remove the oppression of the devil. Secondly, the physical body needs to recover. That's why after we pray for you, if God doesn't say anything, go to see the doctor. Doctor say, cut it out, they cut it out. Then help you to recover faster. Amen? That's why I say, don't let tell you. Don't take medicine. Don't see doctors. You believe you are healed. You have to believe you are healed. Don't ever tell you don't need to go and see doctors. Because doctors help you to recover. You are healed, but doctor will help your body to recover quickly, removing those disease conditions. Understand? Right? Oh, I fear surgery. That's the biggest problem. Fear surgery, fear medicine, fear this, fear that. You know? That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. Fear. Right now? Amen? The moment we pray for you, you are healed. Then doctors help you to recover. Medicine, surgery help you to recover. Unless the Lord speaks, no need to take medicine. Don't need to go and see the doctor. You are healed right now. That means you are completely healed and recovered. Then you don't have to. Else don't let, I don't care who he is. Prophets or pastors or apostles or what Bible school graduate tell you, you don't need to go and see a doctor. You understand? Amen. So the number one method of ministering to the sick is by laying on of hands, all right? Last week, that's what we studied. Laying on of hands is a point of contact where you and I release my faith and you release your faith and believe that you are healed. Amen? And after you are healed, then while the recovery process, you need to hold fast to your healing. Amen? Even though you don't see the manifestation of your healing in your body, after your body completely recover, you need to hold fast to your healing also. Mark 16, we studied this, right? Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. Why recover? Because you are healed. That's why you recover. Amen or not? Today, I'm going to pray for the sick. So you better have faith to come up here to receive whatever you want and better listen to what I'm teaching. Amen. Thank you, Father. So biblical foundation for laying of hands is scriptural because laying hands is the fundamental doctrine of Jesus Christ. It's called a fundamental doctrine. You know why it's called fundamental? Because it's the easiest method to receive. That's why it's called fundamental. There are six fundamental doctrines found in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 6. So the first method of ministering to the sick is to have faith in the laying on of hands. Have faith in laying on of hands. Amen? Now I'm going to emphasize this because there's a difference. Have faith in laying on of hands. The moment we lay hands, it's a point of contact, a law of contact and transmission. The laying of hands is also termed as the law of contact and transmission. Is where a moment there's a contact, there is a transmission of the healing power of God. That's where you must release your faith. Right? My emphasis is focus of faith on the laying on of hands. Let me give you an example on laying on hands on the sick. Many years ago, a lady, you know, not from our church, went on a holiday with her sister and her husband didn't want to go. And husband didn't feel like going and she insists on going. Went with the sister and the family to New Zealand and they drove camper van. And then you drove up those places where it's Pebble Road. Man, it's different from driving here. You better know how to drive on Pebble Road, okay? You don't know how, you better ask me. I'll tell you how to drive on Pebble Road. And they had an accident. Both she and the sister were paralyzed sitting on a wheelchair. Sister was a young Christian. We know them in the charismatic church. Then she wandered into our church. One Sunday, I just laid my hands on her. I didn't pray. And as I laid my hands on her, I spoke to the congregation. I said, at this time, the power of God is transferred into her physical body. I just spoke to the congregation where I put my hands there. Because I have faith in laying on hands. After that, I cannot remember. Immediately, 2-3 weeks later, she told me. She said she actually had internal pain. You see, the moment you lay hands, it was like a vacuum that sucked the pain from her body. And from that onwards, she never had the pain inside. But she still sits on the wheelchair. She said, Pastor, why? Because She was paralyzed, not because of disease condition, paralyzed because of accident. Then it's not a healing. Now, paralysis is not due to disease. It's born that way. Then you need the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, or special anointing for her to recover. That's why she was still sitting on the wheelchair, but the pain was gone. See now. That's why through this example, I want you to see my illustration. I'm illustrating what I'm trying to get across to you. To have faith in laying of hands, a point of contact and transmission. Invoke the law of contact and transmission. And that's where you must believe that you are healed the moment hands is laid on you. Amen. And it's the easiest method. Secondly, the power in the name. You see, that's why I want to emphasize laying of hands. Now, the focus is on the name. Amen? That's the difference, right? Have faith in the name, not necessarily I lay hands. Amen? You still can get your healing. For example, you know, in the book of Acts, Peter and John went to the temple in the hour of prayer, 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and there was a lame man. This lame man was born lame. And he was sitting outside the gate of the temple to ask for money. And Peter just said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Another scripture that says that it's faith in that name that made him, didn't say heal him, okay? So we're going to study from the story of Peter and John going to the temple for prayer at 3 p.m. In the afternoon, they arrive at the gate of beautiful, the temple gate, and there was a lame man there. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the 9th hour, that's 3 p.m. in the afternoon, verse 2. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb. So the Bible didn't say because of disease condition or he was born deformed, right? In this case, it's not a disease condition. That means he's just born deformed, paralyzed. Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms or ask for offering from those who enter the temple. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Verse 4, Acts chapter 3, fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, look at us. John and Peter fixed their eyes on him. So he gave them this attention, expecting to receive something from them. He expected to receive money from them, you know. Then verse 6, Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And I'll show you, it's not the healing of a disease condition. Amen. But it's the power that's in the name, what I want to get across to you. Verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name. Amen. What about his name? There's power in the name of Jesus. Through faith in the name, his name has made this man not healed, strong and firm. Actually, the definition says strong and firm, make him strong. Didn't say heal him or make him whole. That means, you know, he wasn't born with this disease condition. He was just born paralyzed, right? But, you know, it's the same. If there's power in the name to make him whole or make him strong and make him firm and to stand, there's power in the name to heal disease condition also. That's what I want to get across to you. Amen? Faith in the name. Didn't say lay hands. He said, it's faith in the name that make him strong. Right now. Yes, faith which comes through his name has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. He never say he was healed. That means he was restored. His body was born, you know, defective, then it was restored. Right? Then he can walk already. And it's faith in the name, not faith in laying of hands. It is faith in the name. So in other words, there's power. You must have faith in the name of Jesus, and you must have faith that there's power in that name. In the name that make this person born lame, completely restored, back to normal, then there's power in the name for healing as well. Amen. Second method. In other words, if somebody says, in Jesus' name, be healed right now, that's when you must release your faith and believe that there's power in the name. Amen. Praise God. So there's power in the name not only for restoring someone's born lame, but the same power can heal anyone with a disease condition. So have faith in the name. Believe that when you are commanded to be healed in the name of Jesus, release your faith to receive the power that's in his name. It is not necessary the hands be laid on you, Faith through the name will heal you once we use the name of Jesus, especially when somebody else is somewhere else, you need healing, you cannot lay hands. Amen? 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 So you use the name. Amen? Praise God. Thank you, Father. Amen? So the name of Jesus, not only demons must obey, sickness must leave. Amen or not? Thank you, Father, we give you praise. So it's the name that made the lame man strong. The Bible did not say he healed the lame man because his condition was not disease, right? So understanding the name of Jesus, this method, not necessarily as any physical contact, there's restoration power, and faith will activate that power, release that power, or receive that power. Amen. The power in the name of Jesus extends beyond healing to complete restoration. So when we understand and believe in the authority given to us through His name, we can speak healing and restoration with confidence, knowing that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us today. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. The third one, third method. First one is laying of hands. Have faith in the laying of hands. Secondly, have faith in the name of Jesus. Thirdly, the prayer of faith for yourself. Prayer of faith is asking for healing. Ask God specifically for your healing, addressing your request to the Father in Jesus' name. The moment you ask, you believe you are healed. Amen. Then you recover. Don't wait for the recovery. Amen. Same thing, even though, you know, actually, if you go to a medical doctor, it's the same. The moment he prescribes medicine, you must believe that you are healed, right? So believe you receive the moment you ask, amen? And you will have it. You cannot wait until I have it, amen? The manifestation of your healing, you will have it, will follow your faith, and you will recover completely. Now, the process of the moment we use a method to minister healing to the point whereby the doctor's medical report says, oh yeah, you're completely well, that's the time. That's the time frame from the moment you believe to the moment your physical body completely recovered. That's where the battle begins. Amen? That's where you need to hold fast to your healing. Amen? And you have to learn to hold fast to your healing so that in the future, if any symptom try to come back, you can stand against it. The problem is sometimes faith kids, you pray for them, they get healed. Many years down the road, the problems are coming back. You know why? Because my faith, not their faith. Pastor's faith, I was healed. When they grew up, the same sickness come back. Why? Because they were healed based on my faith, not on their faith. Amen? So you need to hold fast. After recovery, hold fast to your healing by believing you are completely healed and continue to confess with thanksgiving. You hold fast by giving thanks. When you believe you are healed, Jesus healed you, you also must start to give thanks. Amen? So, to receive healing from God is a faith proposition. Faith means you believe, you receive. If you believe, you receive, you give thanks. Amen? You start to give thanks. When doctors tell you, oh, you completely recover, you continue to give thanks. So, it's the same principle. If God has blessed you, for example, you know, very often, when we sit on a balcony, we look at the bamboo tree outside there, downstairs, they grow the tree, I enjoy the tree, the birds come on the tree, and we always thank God for the place we have. So we always give thanks. Amen. We give thanks for all the blessings, then we don't miss God. Be content, but expect God to bless. Then you don't miss God, but every time you want to look for a new job, you want to have more pay, you know, that's where you miss God. Because you're not thankful for what you have now. You're not content where you are, but at the same time, expect greater blessings. I'm not saying content means, oh, I don't want anything else. You don't want, can always give it to me, I'll take. Pastor, you got so much what you do, I always can bless somebody else. Why not? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So you have to learn to give thanks now. Be content, but at the same time, expect more from Him. That's faith. If not your faith, you don't use, you just be content, then you don't expect any more blessings from God. That means you're not keeping your faith active. Amen. So the third method is praying the prayer of faith. In Mark chapter 11, 22 to 24, verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Amen. Have faith in God. The prayer of faith is found in the following scripture here. Mark 11:22 and 24. Faith comes from hearing the spoken word of God. To have faith in God for divine healing and health is to hear from God's word. Amen. Faith comes the moment we hear the teaching from the word of God on the subject of divine healing. When I say lay hands, you are healed, means you are healed. Right? Oppression leaves. Then you recover. Amen? And he said, amen. Then have faith in God that what he said will come to pass or be fulfilled. When faith comes from hearing from God, once you hear from God, have faith that what he says will come to pass, will be fulfilled or fulfilled. Therefore, in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, have faith in God, therefore I say unto you. Verse 22 is written for verse 24. It's there for 24. I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, that's a prayer of faith. Now, whatever thing you ask, that's for yourself. Didn't say ask for somebody else. You ask for somebody else, he may not want it. It may not. So prayer of faith always works for ourselves. Prayer of faith will work for you if you can believe the way I believe. Right? It says, what things soever you ask when you pray. When you pray, believe. Not after you receive, then believe. When you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. When you pray, believe. When we lay hands on you, believe. When we command you be healed in the name of Jesus, believe you are healed. When you pray, believe you receive. When you ask God for something, believe that he has given to you. He has given to you. He has activated in giving that thing to you. You must believe, not when you receive. Amen. You have to believe that you receive, then you receive it. Believe that you receive them, and you will have them. No, it didn't say, you have them, then believe you receive. Right now. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You must believe that you receive. Amen. When I pray for angels go, for those who are traveling in May, I believe the angels have gone. Thank you, Father. So, biblical foundation for the prayer of faith. We pray the prayer of faith for yourself, and there are three steps to the prayer of faith for what you desire. We pray, one, pray or ask God for what you desire. Ask God for your healing. Second, believe you are healed because the oppression leaves and you begin to give thanks. If you believe you receive that, you give thanks. So you receive something from someone, you give thanks. Well, thirdly, then you will have it or you recover. That means you look forward to that day of complete recovery. But in the meantime, you believe you are healed. While you are waiting for the complete recovery, don't slip into doubt and unbelief and don't speak doubt and unbelief. Amen. So after you recover, then hold fast to your healing. Actually, the fourth thing is you got to hold fast to your healing. How? Give thanks. That's where you must not yield to fear. Amen. Right? Like I said, a couple of Sundays, last Sunday or two Sundays ago, whenever symptoms came back to Brian Higgins said, that's a lie of the devil. I am healed. Those symptoms, he felt it. He said, it's a lie. I rebuke it, leave right now. Amen. That's how you hold fast to your healing. Amen. Don't yield. I don't care what medical science says. What have you got to lose? You don't hold fast, you're going to die. You hold fast, praise God. Chances are you'll live. Right? So it's the battle between your mind and your spirit. Amen. And whether you are defeated or not, it's in your mouth. Right? Thank you, Father. Amen. And I would say, I refuse to die of sickness and disease. And after seeing my mother living up to 95, I can live to... Then I said recently, you know, I think God is trying to help me to live to 100. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So believe that you receive, amen. You will have it. Once you have it, you hold fast. Someone prayed a prayer of faith with you, and the other person must also take these three steps. You can take these three steps for yourself. If I'm praying a prayer of faith for you, you also must take these three steps. Amen. After that, I cannot hold fast to the healing for you. You must hold fast. Amen. Praise God. So when two of us pray the prayer of faith, there is a prayer of agreement. Amen. A prayer agreement is simply the prayer of faith. Two persons praying the prayer of faith. Two agree on earth, and it must be two agree on earth. Now we see the principle again. First thing, it must be invoked on earth. It must be prayed on earth, then it is settled in heaven. We must take authority over demonic spirits, then God deal with it in heaven. So two agree on earth, two believers come together and agree specifically about their healing need, right? And we have to ask in Jesus' name. Prayer of faith is always asking. They ask the Father in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we ask the Father for the specific healing. Thirdly, believe is done. Amen. See the sequence? Prayer of faith is the same. Amen. Two persons praying the prayer of faith agree on earth, asking the Father in Jesus' name. Then two must believe. If one don't believe, then there's no agreement. Amen. So both believe the Father has heard and answer, giving thanks in advance. If God has given you something, then we wait for the manifestation. The healing manifests physically as agreed upon in prayer. You will manifest. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Especially sometimes when you're so sick, then get somebody else to agree with you. Right now. Amen. And let the other person pray prayer of faith. At the moment that person say amen, then you just amen and agree with that person. And make sure you agree. Right? You know, the mistake is sometimes they talk, oh, let's agree. They don't ask. No. The scripture says when you agree, you ask the Father. Prayer agreement, you have to ask the Father. Many times in the past, I hear, oh, let us agree, and they don't ask. That's wrong. You need to ask. And then make sure you believe together. Both of them must believe. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. When both pray the prayer of faith, it becomes the prayer agreement. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, this is the prayer agreement. Jesus said, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth, see, it has to be done on earth. Amen. Else, God can do nothing for you if we don't pray, we don't ask. Amen. Oh, you know, God knows my need. He knows, of course. Amen. Now, a lot don't understand why we need to ask, why we need to pray. It's the principle of believer's authority. It's the principle of the power of attorney that's given to humanity. And God is no longer on earth. Amen. God is not on earth. Jesus is not on earth. He has given us the power of attorney in His name. And we have to ask, we have to pray, we have to take authority over demonic spirits. If two of you agree on earth, not only agreeing, so many times they say, oh, let's agree, they don't ask. Concerning anything, and they ask. Amen. You have to ask. But sometimes, you know, when both of you say, oh, let's agree, when the moment you ask, you can tell you're not in agreement. No, we cannot ask for some things cannot ask. Because it's not in the Bible, then, you know, we have to really depend on, we must check in our spirit whether we can ask. Can we agree or not? Amen. And it will be done. Once you ask, both of you agree, it will be done. Amen. Right? It will be done for them by who? By the Father who's in heaven. See that? That's why we need to pray. We need to take authority, then He deal with the wicked spirit in high places. That's why we need to pray. God can do nothing for mankind. If you see those wars going on, you know what's the problem with those countries having war? The church is at fault. God's going to hold the churches responsible. They don't pray, they don't take authority, they've been taught, they discard it. Amen. Same thing. Your own personal life, you neglect on prayer, you don't learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, you miss God, you will pay the price. Amen. So the prayer agreement must be invoked on earth. Then the Father will answer our prayer in heaven. Three steps are on earth, asking the Father in Jesus' name. Amen. Believe the Father in heaven hears and answers our prayer of agreement and start to give thanks. Now we use it on healing, the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith, you can pray by yourself. A two-person praying is praying the prayer of faith, becomes the prayer of agreement. Then you give thanks. You believe something you do not see yet, but it is done in heaven. Because as Jesus said, the moment you ask, it's done for you by a Father who is in heaven. Thirdly, then expect to receive. Expectation is also faith. Faith expects. Amen. Expect a good outcome. Amen. So another scripture on the prayer of faith is this. John 16, 23, 24. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Don't ask me anymore, Jesus said. Because he's going to be in heaven seated at the right hand of the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatsoever you ask, again, that's a prayer of faith. You ask the Father in my name. See? So the first method is we have faith on the laying of hands. Second method, we have faith in the name of Jesus. The third method, we have faith in the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith is prayed in His name. Amen. We lay hands also laid in His name. Amen. See that? But the focus is different. Having faith in the hands was laid on. Having faith in asking in Jesus' name. Amen. I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. All right? Verse 24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. There's no name because Jesus beside. I mean, Jesus walking here, why I ask the Father? Ask Him. Since Jesus walking here, and I ask Him straight. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I ask you 1,001 questions? Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. Amen. That your joy may be full. The Father always there to answer our prayer so that His children will be full of joy. Amen. God is not here to make you sad. Amen. God the Father is not here to always make His children sad. He's always here to make us glad. Amen. How is He going to make us glad? He answers our prayers. That's a prayer of faith. Whatsoever you ask, of course you can ask. You know, you can ask things that's already in the Bible that's promised to us. You can always ask. Healing is one of them. Direction is a different story. God, can I go that direction? He may say no. Amen. Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, you cannot ask against the will of God. For direction, you have to ask, is that direction that I want to go? Is it your will or not? See the difference? Amen. And you want to go into this business, is it God's will for you to go into that business? I told you the story before, right? This pastor, he said, oh man, you got to learn from the church there. He said, oh, I'm going to put my hands through prosper. Man, he went to spend all his money to do up his cafe. And next thing, January came, COVID hit. His cafe just went down the drain. He said, Pastor, I was wondering why I put my hand through, it will prosper. I said, hello. No need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. In other words, what's the problem? Problem, you cannot just quote the letter of the word is death. You have to follow the spirit of the word. Yes, that word in Deuteronomy, whatever you put your hand to will prosper, is a word from the Lord. But it's for Israel at that time. But for you right now, it has to be quickened to you, then you can use it. Amen? You cannot just take. I mean, you don't hear from God. For example, you need a healing and you're waiting on God, you're not hearing from God, then you can quote all the scriptures you know. What else to quote? What else to confess? Scripture law? I mean, you confess until He quickens that scripture to you. That's the scripture for your healing and health and for living. Amen? So in the meantime, what do? Many times, Brother Hagin uses this term, school yourself into faith. So, if God is silent, what do? You take all the healing scripture, you need finances, take all the finances scripture, you need direction, take all the directional scripture and confess it, until the scripture that the Holy Spirit quickened to you, that's the spoken word. Amen. Thank you, Father. So that's why I don't get anxious. Many a time when we wait for God, don't get anxious. When you get anxious, that's where you're going to miss God. Right? Especially you say, well, I'm going to go, I'm going to migrate here, I'm going to change job, I'm going to go here. Yeah, you keep saying you're going to miss God, I'm telling you. Amen. Just shut your mouth and listen to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit inside you. Amen. And don't be anxious. Right? You're confronted with the situation in life. This thing is happening, that thing is happening. What do? Just shut up and just listen on the inside. Amen. Learn to shut your mind. You know how you learn to shut your mind? Take your mind and learn to listen to the inside. Outside, there's noise. You know, Brother can talk about when he left pastoring the churches. Man, he said he was worse off, you know. Then he went and become an evangelist. That's not his calling. So he rented a three bedroom, the son had to sleep in the kitchen, you know. And then in the living room, the TV is on. You know, he said, with the TV on, I read the Bible. I shut out those noises. Amen. He said, when I pray, I imagine a circle around me. I shut everything out. And he listened to the Spirit. So learn to shut out those noises. You're confronted with a baby crying, Maid's not doing her work lah. A mother screaming at you lah. Your husband not helping lah. Shut up the voice and listen on the inside. George laughing, he's guilty. No, just teasing him. Hey man, learn to shut out that noise. How? For me, practically, just take your thought life and put it on the inside. Amen. If not, those voices outside get your attention, then you, what else? You bombarded, right? Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Amen. So ask and you receive. After Jesus' ascension, we are to ask the Father in Jesus' name. Amen. And we are not to ask, don't ask Jesus. Don't pray to Jesus. That's wrong prayer. Thank you, Lord. So asking the Father in Jesus' name, amen. Direct your prayer to the Father. Jesus taught us to pray to the Heavenly Father, not to Him. Use Jesus' name as an authority. When He said use my name, means He's giving us authority to ask the Father directly. We come in Jesus' name using His authority and position. We receive with fullness of joy. The answer brings complete joy and manifestation. So when we pray for healing this way, we must believe we are healed the moment we ask, and then He will see the healing manifest. This understanding allows us to release our faith immediately when the prayer is prayed, right? Understand two things, two aspects of sickness. One is demonic oppression. Two, physical condition, manifestation of disease condition. But what Christ's provision is, He provided for both. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke the oppression, and the power of God and medication will help the body to recover. But your healing started when the demonic oppression leaves in the name of Jesus. Amen. Here, the moment we pray, this one leaves. That means you are healed. Then this part needs to recover, right? And our response is we must address both aspects through faith, believing for deliverance from oppression and restoration of health. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. The role of faith in divine healing, manifestation, complete recovery, and testimony. When we have our manifestation of healing in our physical body, it's time for us to give our testimony, right? Because testimony helps us to overcome, you know, bombardments of the devil. Action, acting on your faith through obedience. We need to act on our faith. We need to ask. We need to believe. We need to expect a full recovery. Believing you receive when you pray. And we have to have faith. Amen. Faith is the foundation of all matters of divine healing. Romans 10, 17 tells us faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God, spoken word of God. This is why teaching on divine healing is so crucial. It builds faith necessary to receive. Faith operates like a spiritual law requiring both the minister and recipient to believe. The minister must have faith that God's power flows through them, while the recipient must have faith to receive the power. When both align in faith, healing will manifest. Amen. I believe, you believe, I have faith, you have faith, we are in alignment. Then we are in agreement. Amen. So after that, we must hold fast to your healing. How? By giving thanks. Thank God continually. Express gratitude for your healing even before full manifestation, before you see your body completely healed. Secondly, after you're healed, refuse symptoms. Reject any returning symptoms the enemy tried to place on you. Thirdly, resist the devil. Actively stand against spiritual oppression through faith. And faith comes from the Word. Constantly, you need to renew your faith with the Word of God. Amen or not? That's why we need to teach you all this. Then you need to continue to renew your mind. Amen. So they continuously meditate on the Word of God. Amen. So it's crucial, after receiving healing, crucial to maintain your position of faith. The enemy often attempts to bring symptoms back, testing your resolve. By holding fast to what God has done, you secure your healing and prevent the enemy from stealing what belongs to you. This is why being part of the local church that teaches healing correctly is vital. Regular exposure to God's word on healing renews your mind and strengthens your faith to stand against any contrary evidence. Amen. Right, so early on I explained to you, no, disease condition between healing and restoration. Healing is curing a disease condition, for example, cancer, infection, pain, through laying of hands or prayer of faith or other methods. Examples, a woman with the issue of blood, restoration, repairing structural damage or congenital issues, for example, from paralysis, from accident, birth defects, often require gifts of the Holy Spirit, for example, the man born lame in Acts chapter 3. Amen. So there's a difference between healing of disease condition and physical damage. So, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Then the church plays a part, right? So Jesus established the church as a community of faith where believers could grow together. When it comes to divine healing, this community aspect becomes even more important as we strengthen one another's faith and provide accountability in holding fast to healing. You know, two occasions. One was many years back, the Egyptian minister, one of the cabinet minister's wife, had cancer. Somebody gave her a book by Kenneth Hagin, little book. In those days, probably $1. The title of the book is God's Medicine. And she read the book. The husband took a private jet and flew her all the way to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Broken Arrow, actually, where the Bible school is. Community, talk about community faith. And Brother Hagin got her coming to the prayer school. Every day I was in the prayer school. In the prayer school, he got all the students come together. And all, whoever can lay hands on her, lay hands on her. You cannot then lay hands on the next person in front of you, you know. And that's invoking corporate faith. She was completely healed. Then when I went to school, second time, another lady also had cancer. And by that time, when I went to school, he didn't lead prayer school anymore. But we attend prayer school every day. Morning school, afternoon prayer school, and healing school, you know, not compulsory to attend. So I was there, and this time the Holy Spirit spoke to Brother Hagin, bring that lady, another lady this time. Same thing, you know. I said, that's for me. Impartation, Jesus' name. See, I said, God did it for me. Of course, there's impartation. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Anybody who needs prayer for healing, you come up here right now. I'm not going to call you. When you come, you are initiated releasing your faith. Amen. Even though I know you may need, if you don't come, I'm not going to call you because you need to activate your faith. First time when I say it, of course, why? You may not be sure. Lah. I keep saying I'm not going to die of sickness and disease. First time I say, then the thought comes, you sure confident? Lah. I keep saying, oh, the more you say, the more confident. Right? Lah. I refuse to die of sickness and disease. There's power in my tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. They who love it will eat the fruit thereof. And I say I refuse to die of sickness and disease. I'll eat the fruit of what I say. Amen. And I decide how long I live. Psalm 91 says, long life, I'll satisfy you. Amen. Praise God. And I'm not satisfied yet. I just want to get the word out. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just go through again. You confess health, you live healthy. You confess fear, you always think of sickness and think, oh, maybe I'll get this, get it. One day you'll get it. Amen. But he can say, you know, his mother, you know, always confess, you know, one day I'll get cancer, one day, yeah, true enough, one day. Thank you, Father, we give you praise. Amen. God is good. Praise the Lord. So next week, we're going to continue on the different methods to receive. So the purpose of studying so that whichever method we use, you release your faith. I teach that you may have faith so that you release your faith and you stand against and refuse to accept. Amen. Don't let it come back to you again. Now, you know, Brother Hagin said he cannot drink coffee. And 5% people in the world cannot drink coffee. Why? He didn't say, well, I believe I drink coffee, I'll be okay. No, he doesn't touch it. See that? Because coffee will harm his body. But he didn't say what happened. So he will not take coffee. See? So there's the other side. Right? Yeah, he has faith. That doesn't mean, you know, if your body cannot handle coffee, don't keep drinking coffee. I mean, you have faith for healing. You have faith for living healthily. You don't want to take drugs, you know. Banned drugs or fentanyl. It will destroy you. Don't care how much faith you have. So it's the same. He couldn't take coffee, so he will not drink coffee. Amen. So that doesn't mean that he got no faith, right? Why like that? Because our body is not perfect. Our body has a fallen nature. The body is not perfect. Amen. And some people eat durian, they get heaty. I don't care when I have 5 boxes, I just continue and finish it. And I don't drink liang teh. I finish the durian, then a couple of weeks later, I buy another 2 or 4 boxes, and I eat again. Praise God.